This week on Hot Couple Chronicles.
The way we view confidence is created with compounded courage over time. So that means that in order to have confidence, you have to do scary shit. If you are saying you're going to do shit, do it. No, the woman doesn't need you to fix her emotion. It's her fucking emotion, period. Let her fix her shit.
Yeah.
Let her go through her shit. Let her understand her shit. But you're just there to help her. Heal your shit. Work on your shit. Take a healthy self into new adventures. It's okay to fucking develop. It's okay to grow. It's okay to admit I'm not fucking, like, I admit this shit all the time. I am always working. I get in the mirror every motherfucking day and tell myself I love myself. Like, to a point, there are most days I will tear up because, like, that's the kind of love I want from the world, is the way I love me.
Right.
You become more magnetic when you become more comfortable with yourself. And it's not you trying to be something outside of you so that other people find you more magnetic.
Welcome to Hot Couple Chronicles, a podcast exploring the swinging lifestyle. Our discussions may contain explicit content and adult themes intended for mature audiences. While we strive to offer valuable insights and entertainment, please be aware that the views expressed are based on personal experiences and opinions. We encourage listeners to approach the content with an open mind and to prioritize communication, consent, and respect in their relationships. Remember, everyone's journey is unique, so take what resonates with you and leave what doesn't. Thank you for joining us on our adventure.
I'm Russ, and welcome back to Hot Couple Chronicles. As you can see, I'm solo again this week. I swear to God, Ashley's still with me. We're still married. We're still happy. She's just out of town with family. So, that being said, I have an awesome guest here today. His name's Jim Vance, the conscious man on Instagram. He helps other men find their power within, lead with confidence, among other things. Just all around, just great guy. But before we get into it, I want to talk to Jim and let him explain exactly what he's all about. So, Jim,
thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Thanks for that introduction. It was better than the first try.
I know, right? We have had some technical difficulties this morning.
So, I'm a men's identity coach. So when I say identity, I'm talking about the identity of the man subconsciously and how he operates, how he moves, how he leads, how he shows up. And so I've been doing this for about 5 years. My wife, she works with women. She's been doing this for about 10 years. And I really enjoy just talking about relational dynamics, polarity, and then leadership a good bit. So I'm excited to be here with you guys.
So you talk a lot about self-leadership. What does that mean and why is it so important for me?
I like it. So the reason why I think it's important, number one, is that for men in their masculine, leadership is vital. And you're only as good as how you lead yourself. So you have to be the standard for your partner. You have to be a standard for the relationship. And if you're expecting to be in a relationship where you're the leader, and it should just be an expected that somebody follows you, but you're living a shit show life, then you're barking up the wrong tree. So the way I teach men is how you want your wife to respond to you is how you need to lead your life. And so if you're not like transparent as fuck, you're not in alignment every fucking day, you're not moving in direction, you're not having purpose, you're not heart led, you're not communicating powerfully, you're not standing in truth, then she has no fucking desire to follow you. And she has no desire to be submissive to you in that way. And so it's like, how do you operate as a self leader? Because if you're not operating as a self-leader, you can look behind you all day. Nobody's going to follow you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Love that. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love that. All right. Now, if you could go back and tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Why you got to do this to me, Russell?
Jesus. I told you it was going to be some spite.
I would tell my younger self to like myself. Like, just like you. it goes a long way. And a lot of people don't understand, like, I'd say the basis foundation of everything I do is getting men to like the man that they are instead of getting people to like them. And that's what I did. Like, I just operated from the get people to like me stage for 30 years. And then I was like,
we're always looking for validation outside of ourselves.
So that was how I operated, because it was just the way I was raised and the dynamics of my family. And so when I learned to just like the guy I was, people started liking me, and I didn't have to beg for it or dance around and get fake shit happen. I was just being me, and everything was kosher.
Let's talk about confidence. All right. As this podcast is all about the lifestyle, me and Ashley give our hot takes on what we think was going on. A lot of the guys in the lifestyle struggle with self-worth, especially when surrounded by other attractive guys and confident people. What's the secret to unshakable confidence?
Man, if I had this to sell, it'd be worth it. I think it's so crazy. It's me and Jocelyn talking about this last night for an hour.
It was meant to be.
The way we view confidence is created with compounded courage over time. So that means that in order to have confidence, you have to do scary shit. And in that scary shit, you're going to fuck up a good bit. But in the fuck up, you learn how to do the shit, and then you become confident because you know how to do it. Like, confidence is, your confidence level is really high, so confidence matches it. And so when guys are in relational dynamics, the first thing that happens for men is they start to question themselves on, are they good enough to be doing anything? Like, even with your wife, like, most men are like, am I good enough to be loved by this person? Am I showing up good enough every day to actually receive love from somebody? And then if you bring in multiple partners and they have partners, then you start to get into the straight, like, comparison of your good enoughness to other people, in which we start to judge based off of illusion. We're not doing factual things. We're looking at people from a perspective in our head that we don't view ourselves as. And so when we operate from that space, we don't actually operate from logic. We're operating from emotion. And when a man operates from emotion, he goes into his feminine. And when he goes into his feminine, he loses confidence. He loses his structure. He loses his frame. He loses who he is, because he's trying to rationalize his own emotions in those moments. And I think it's super important, and too, for men. And I talked about, me and Jocelyn talked about this today too. A big thing that pops up for people in, and I've coached multiple men in the lifestyle now, and Jocelyn's coached multiple women. And the one thing that pops up in a lot for men is, like, the feeling like they aren't getting the same energy that their wife's giving somebody else. And so in that space, the reality is, it's new energy. And so, like, polarity is energy based. And so sometimes in relationships, they become stagnant because you're not showing up the same way to your partner as you did in the past, or as you would somebody new, because you're learning somebody new and you're a little bit more interested and eager as comparative to you are with somebody you've been in a long-term relationship with. And so men get a little disheveled by that. They get a little put off, but the reality is, it has nothing to do with that. It's just a newer energy of learning. Like, I'm just learning something and I'm just interested and eager. It has nothing to do with, you're getting a version of me that I don't get. No, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, we talk about that quite a bit. It's like, you just get excited, right? Yeah. And women, same thing happens to women as well. When they see their husband or partner for a long time, get excited and engage with another female. So it isn't just men having this problem. It's on both sides of the table.
Men just believe it's more about them than they do the women. They just see women as, like, these super confident, radiant beings, and here we are just fucking, like, gorillas walking in the mist for us to judge ourselves, because we don't think we're as elevated as our wives sometimes.
I know I'm guilty of this as well, as I put Ashley on a pedestal most of the time. So I put her greater than or better than myself. So that's something that I deal with on a day. It's where I'm like, why is she even with me? Like, yes. I'm a hot mess.
I get it.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I bring as much to the table as she does. She's just hotter than
100%. And my wife's the same way. And the thing is, too, I did that for a while. And then I realized, like, whenever you put somebody above you, you put yourself out of the picture. And so I did that with Jocelyn forever and realized she is awesome. She is amazing. And we're great. We're better together than we are separate. And it's because we both bring a certain level of power to that couple dynamic. And that became a thing.
Yeah.
But I still, like we were talking about just a second ago, it's confidence for us, for men, comes down to us being able to do scary shit and get good at it. We're only confident when we're good at shit. When we suck at it, we feel like pieces of shit all the time. I don't deal with it.
Yeah, we're very results-driven beings.
And that's what confidence is based off. Confidence is based off of your ability to do the thing over and over again and convince yourself that you're good enough to do the thing.
Absolutely.
So it's a matter now, like as a man, and you start small. How do you build confidence? You build confidence by keeping your word to you. That's the number one rule for a man. Like, if you are saying you're going to do shit, do it. Don't even fucking wait. Just go do it. If you say, you tell your wife, I'm going to do A, B, and C, stop telling her shit. Go do the shit. And you'll start doing it, and you keep your word to yourself. Keep your word, keep your word, keep your word. And then you feel confident that you're going to show up and do the thing you say you're going to do.
And I think that's a trap that we fall into a lot is I'm going to go do this. And then we just don't feel like it or it gets put to the wayside. And then we become that person that has all talk, no walk. Like, and so they lose confidence, which also hurts our ego and our confidence. And it's just like a down
spiral. They lose trust because we've broken trust with ourselves. And so they lose trust in us. Because they're like, if you will break your word to yourself, you'll break your word with everybody. And so in their mind, they get a little shaken in their capacity to believe in you because you don't believe in yourself enough to keep your word.
That's solid. That's solid right there.
Looking for a fresh way to connect in the lifestyle? Welcome to The Playground, a modern space where open-minded adults meet, explore, and create unforgettable connections.
Built for the lifestyle community, The Playground is where curiosity meets connection. Ready to join the fun? Click the link below and start your adventure with The Playground today.
About when a guy starts to doubt himself. All right. Maybe he's feeling intimidated at an event or worrying about measuring up. What's the mental shift he needs internally to shine?
The first thing I always ask myself in these scenarios when I start to doubt myself, and it's usually because I'm comparing. And so it's, what does it mean about me? What does it mean about me?
Yep.
Like, okay, this guy's this. What does that mean about me? Because at the end of the day, the guy's just showing up being the guy. He's not doing anything. I'm making it mean something about me. I'm selfishly trying to.
No, go ahead.
I selfishly, if I get into a space where I start to make another man just being alive mean something that I'm not. He showed up with no intention of that. He showed up with an intention just to be himself. And it's like, how do we reframe? The reframe is, number one, you ask yourself, what does it mean about me that he is this way? The more logic you bring to the scenario, the faster you reframe it. Because when you bring emotion to it, you're just like, fuck, he's better than me. And da, da. And then you start to bring your energy level comes down with you. And so it's how do I?
Yeah.
Number one, bring logic to the scenario. What does this mean about me? Nothing. It just means he's this and I'm this. Good. And then ask me, like, is it aligned for me to be here? I think that's another thing. A lot of times men, they don't ask themselves enough because they get caught up in a moment. They get caught up in chasing something that they think they need. They don't ask themselves, am I supposed to be here? Is this supposed to be what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this the perfect thing for our relationship? Because a lot of people that get in their head inside of these scenarios often are in their head about the relationship they're currently in anyway. And so it's how am I projecting this into a new scenario? And so how do I make sure everything at the house is good, because when I go here, I got to be solid here if I'm going to be solid there. Because if this is a little wobbly, a little wobbly, everything in my energy is going to be wobbly with anybody else.
Absolutely. We would say make sure your cup's completely full before you get into these, put yourself into these situations, like in scenarios, because we're like sharks in water, right? We can sniff the insecurities out like blood in the water.
Yes.
if a couple's not solid, it sticks out like the purple elephant in the room, and everybody gravitates away from those people. Not because they're not good people, but we just, if they're not good, we don't want to be brought into their dynamic and be caught in the middle of something that 100%. Has nothing to do with us.
And two, it may not even be the couple's not good. It might be the person inside of that relationship is not good with themselves. And so they're trying to bring that to a scenario to heal themselves, and it's going to rip it apart.
Absolutely. Say, we always tell people that this lifestyle will expose any fracture in your relationship or that you have within yourself, and it's going to expose it. And if you don't deal with it, it's going to break. And that's where you see, and if you deal with it, like just any other fracture, like a broken arm, it's going to heal stronger than it was before. But if you don't and you just ignore it, it's going to
break. And I've told all my clients that I've coached in the lifestyle, like, this is the personal development course on steroids. And you think being in a relationship with your wife is rough, right? Then when you start introducing new energies into your world, there's a lot to learn about you. There's a lot to grow in you. There's a lot that you don't even realize that you have going on until it shows up. And you're like, where the fuck did this come from? I was good until this. But it's, you put yourself into relational dynamics. You're going to learn. You're going to grow. You just got to be willing to do that work. If you're not willing to do that work, you need to get the fuck out immediately. Because you will have a miserable experience.
And I like to point out too, it's like this journey isn't linear. Like even I have moments where it's like, what the, like I had one just a few months ago and I was like, and I was just sat by myself. I'm like, where the fuck do I think? Like, why am I feeling this way? I'm good with it. Like, I know I'm good with it. So I had to really unpack what my whole, like, emotional reaction was for it, because I was not good. And once I unpacked it and then talked to Ashley later, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what the problem was. I'm like, I felt like the kid that wasn't picked for dodgeball.
That's it?
That's all it was. It wasn't like I was good with it. But like, it's from the rejection from like childhood trauma and growing up that came back when I was 37 years old.
And that shit happens more than you can imagine. It's because most people don't realize like you're programmed from the ages of 0 to 8 to be who you are today. If you've not done any work, you've not actually looked at yourself in any capacity, you've not paid attention to your own thoughts, your own patterns of behavior. Those are the same patterns you took on when you were like 5, 6, 7 years old. And you're still operating emotionally from that way. You're still operating in your thinking capacity from that way. And you're still operating to get your needs met from that way. And so it's like time for it to upgrade the system, right? When you get to 30s and 40s as a man, you got to upgrade how you get your shit met. Like your needs need to be met in a different capacity.
Yeah.
Your emotional capacity needs to be a little bit more tight. How you speak and communicate needs to be a little bit more direct and a little bit more intentional. All of these are upgrades, but if you're unwilling to look at yourself, you're gonna shit yourself in this kind of scenario.
We talk about emotional intelligence, and it takes a level of emotional intelligence to get that. And like you said, if we're programmed from 0 to 8 years old and we haven't done any self-work in between that time, We don't have the emotional maturity to deal with.
I was the worst. I can tell you for a fact. So my wife, she is absolutely probably the most powerful human I've ever met. Super smart, super, just own it. Okay. But the thing about her is when I met her, like I was a shit show, honestly. Like I knew I wanted to be with her, but I knew who I was wouldn't fit there. So I had to go to work But I was an emotional basket case. I didn't know how to process emotions. I didn't know what it meant to talk about shit. I was super closed off, non-vulnerable. And to be in a good relationship, like you got to, your emotional capacity to share yourself, to understand why you feel the things you feel, to understand if the things you're feeling are actually happening. That was the thing with me. Johnson would say some shit to me and my emotionally, I would feel a certain way, but then I would start creating these stories. And I remember she goes, what do you think about when I say shit? Well, I'll write it down the next time. And I wrote it down. I have 4 pages of, here's what I think. And she goes, where the fuck did this come from? I was like, this bullshit up here, this bullshit making machine, because I had created all of these emotions and stories about things that didn't even exist in the moment, but it was all from my past. It was all from my childhood, all from being a teenager and not ever going through it. And so she's like, yeah, you got to fucking do some work on that because that ain't going to work. I'm like, I bet it's not going to work.
Like you said, she is one of the most powerful beings you would ever meet in your life. Even when I'm talking to her one-on-one, we'll just be talking normal day bullshit. And she'll look at me dead in the eye, like into my soul, and be like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. Stop. I'm just trying to.
That's what she does to me. She'll look at me dead in my eye sockets and say, what's going on with you? And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't know.
Yeah, how much? Like, I don't know how to answer this. I know you want
to
answer.
She said that to me. She goes, "What's going on with you?" I'm like, "I'm good." She goes, "No, nah, something's off. You need to think about it." I'm like, "What do you want?"
Yeah, the first time she did that to me is we're in a big group of people and we were talking, and it was right when we started getting into social media, and we were talking about how I just feel like imposter syndrome, this and that. And she looked at me, she's like, but you're there. You're here. Like, why? I'm like, damn it.
Thanks, Jocelyn.
I'm like, I know you're right. I know you're right, but I don't have an answer for you.
And then, but dude, that's like the level of, but and I always say this to myself, and I tell my clients this, the level of who you're going to be is based off the level of questions you ask yourself. So if you get into scenarios, the more questions you can ask yourself, and when you're like emotional, when you are feeling down on yourself, or when you're feeling like a little just disassociated, ask yourself questions like, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this? Is this attached to now, or is this attached to past events? Do I need to talk to anybody about this shit? Because when I start to get really specific, then truth comes out. If I don't ask myself any questions, bullshit comes out. It's the untruth in my head. And so I need to get real specific about being, that's why like my brand is the conscious man, because I got tired of being unconscious in how I was operating every day. And I really wanted to be conscious. And the only way to be conscious is to ask yourself like what you're really thinking and what you're really feeling and be honest as shit. And my wife, that's our number one rule. I need you to tell me everything, even if it hurts me. And so we like our whole life, and that's where our kids operate. We talk about true shit. And, but when you operate from true, you can start to see your own bullshit because you're like, oh, okay, this isn't allowing me. Fuck this. I can't.
Yeah.
And you'll just discard it after a while because you'll see the bullshit as it's popping up in you. And you're like, fuck that. I'm out. I'm going to do something else. Boop. And you just start moving.
And that's how I operate is when I have a feeling or if I'm not feeling great, or I just am not good, I try and make it logical in my brain first. And before I communicate it to Ashley.
Yes.
Because I don't want to lash out and say something that nothing like I don't mean it or it comes out wrong. Or I want it to be, okay, this is how I feel. This is why I feel it. What do you think about it? And sometimes she'll give me a different perspective of like, okay, we'll revisit this later. And so that's how we operate. But there's also, I've seen people in bad situations that don't have that type of mentality and lash out in the moment. like a an eight-year-old.
Because that's what they're operating from. And it's we always say, if you're going to communicate with your partner, it needs to come from one energy and one energy alone. It's I love you, I love me, and I love us. If I can have that energy, like I'm not trying to win anything. I'm trying, if I'm winning, we're losing. So how do we win as a in this relationship? How do we win in this scenario? And that in the way you approach Ashley is perfect. Hey, here's what I'm feeling. Here's why I'm feeling it. And the key thing is not to blame your partner for how you feel, because they're your feeling. Your feelings are your feelings.
Yeah. And that's a, you have to receive it that way too when you're getting.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, you do.
Because it's easy. Because when we feel like, if we feel attacked, we get defensive and we stop listening.
And if you,
we have to understand that we're not, they're not trying to attack us. They're trying to tell us how they feel. Now we have a part in that as a partner. Like we might have caused that feeling. We don't have to gaslight or invalidate their emotion. When Ashley comes to me, I ask her a lot of questions and I tell her from the get, before I start, I'm like, I'm not trying to invalidate, like your feelings are valid. I'm asking for understanding. I'm seeking to understand. And so I ask a lot of questions that from the outside looking in sounds like I'm gaslighting her. But I'm really just trying to get down into her brain, dig down deep and try and figure out from my perspective how she's feeling this way, because it's hard for me to understand a lot of these emotions.
Men and women communicate differently. Like men communicate for information.
Yeah.
Everything we do is about information. What kind of information I need to get here to make a decision here. Women communicate based off of the feeling they're trying to receive or the feeling they're actually feeling. And so when you got somebody trying to logic their way through an emotional scenario, a lot of chaos that happens pretty quick. And a lot of men try to fix the emotion because they're not comfortable in their own emotion.
Right.
Yeah.
We're fixing.
We are. But at the end of the day, and this is where like earlier I talked about, you have to ask yourself, what does her feelings mean about me? And that's so important.
Exactly.
It means not anything about you. It just means she's feeling something now. And if she's feeling something now, the woman, the feminine wants to feel this in a relationship. They want to feel, they want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to be understood. And they want to be felt. That's it. The man wants to be loved, trusted, respected, and desired. And so in order to get love, trust, respect, and desire, you have to give her the ability to, for her to be seen, understood, felt, and heard. Then she's able to give you the thing that you want. But most men think that they just come in and fix these problems and that I should be getting what I want. No, the woman doesn't need you to fix her emotion. It's her fucking emotion, period. Let her fix her shit.
Yeah.
Let her go through her shit. Let her understand her shit. But you're just there to help her. Help her, meaning you ask.
Yeah.
You get inquisitive.
Yeah. Or the support system. Because that's what Ashley beats on that drum constantly about how much self-work she didn't realize until after we got into the thick of it. Like, we went head first into the lifestyle after we owned it. And she's like, I didn't realize all the self-work I had to do.
Yes.
Same. I mean, we both do. But yeah, a lot of people don't talk about that side of it. And it's all, and like I talked about this last week, is we're at fault about that at some points, because on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all the places, we put this unicorn and rainbow scope on the lifestyle. And we don't, and we do have moments where we talk about hard truths, but everybody wants to see happy things on social media. That's what pushes the algorithm. That's what gets us the views so we can talk about the deeper stuff.
Yeah.
So we're at whim of AI.
I hear you.
I talk
about all the good and bad. So if you want to find out about bad shit about relationships, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you about how we function different. Like we function fucked up sometime in relational dynamic. I think it's super important to understand for anybody listening, whenever you get into any level of relationship with people, there has to be a level of growth within you. I don't care who it is. If it's your kids, you have to grow to be a dad or a mom. if it's to be in a marriage, you got to grow constantly to stay in that spot in a healthy way. Like, it's so vital. Like, growth needs to be the thing that you bank on. And if you can bank on that, everything else takes care of itself. But if you're just hoping to get into something that is going to make you get a feeling, or it's going to fix some things that's going on in your relationship, you're going to put yourself and put your relationship in a bad spot. It's not good leadership of you to bring outside sources right into a fractured spot, hoping that puts some semen in there and heals it up. Heal your shit, work on your shit, take a healthy self into new adventures, but don't take this. You're already broke and you know it, and your relationship is broken. You know it. Don't fucking take that somewhere to somebody. Don't bring that shit to somebody's doorstep. Work on your shit. Be good. Right. Like, it's okay to work on you. It's okay to fucking develop. It's okay to grow. It's okay to admit I'm not fucking, like, I admit this shit all the time. I am always working. I have three women in my house. So I always see how I fuck up every goddamn day. Like, I know, like, I'm a professional fuck up at this point, but I work at being better. I accept fuck up as part of the process. And that's good.
It is. It is, yes, part of the process. It is. Like, we're all going to fuck up.
Yeah. Hey there, listeners. Are you looking to prioritize your sexual health and wellness? We've got just the thing for you. Shameless Care offers at-home testing kits, telehealth consultations, and even treatment for ED and performance anxiety for when you want to play, but your body says otherwise. It's convenient, discreet, and all about keeping you at your best. And guess what? We've teamed up with them to give you an exclusive discount. Use code HOT, that's code H-O-T, at checkout to get $30 off your first order. Don't walk, run. It's time to take charge of your sexual health today with Shameless Care, because your health is nothing to be ashamed of.
All right, yeah, let's shift a little bit. So let's talk about, ooh, rejection. Whether it's a couple not being interested in you or your partner not being on board with trying, mm-hmm, something new, rejection is part of life. How do you handle it as a man?
Different aspects. I always say good. And I know it goes back to, I don't know if you ever heard Jocko Willink talk about being like good with things that don't seem good.
Jocko,
talk about when things go wrong, you didn't get selected for that thing. Good. You need to get better. Hey, you got rejected by this person. Okay, cool. And what does that mean? At the end of the day, what does it mean about you? That they had a choice and they made a choice for themselves. Right. When you, and I get that, I've experienced this a lot lately. It's when you have an expectation that somebody should be something for you because you gave them the opportunity to be that, you fuck yourself. Because they have a choice. Right. They have a choice to decide what they want for them. And that's where it's powerful. But you not getting chosen, or your wife telling you, hey, I don't want to do this. That's good. That takes you to the drawing board where y'all can talk and have deeper conversation, have deeper connection, and maybe uncover some things that she does want to do. And that's where it gets. Instead of focusing on what you're trying to get, like, how do I focus in on how do we connect here? Hey, I want this. She doesn't want this. All right. What do we want together? Instead of operating in these two silos inside of this relationship where we're trying to grow it together, how do we get what we want together? Because then you're probably going to be way more satisfied in the long run. Because if you're just trying to get you fulfilled and you just expect her to do what you need her to do so you feel good, what does that do for her? Like, what does that do for her own mindset? What does that do for her own self-worth? Like, she's always having to give up and abandon herself to make you feel good. What does that do for her own nervous system, her own psyche? Fuck. Like, there's two people in the relationship. You're not the only one getting your needs met. She's not the only one getting her needs met. So there has to be a mutual agreement. There has to be a mutual standard here for y'all. There's always what I'm not getting or what she's not getting. But what do y'all want together?
What about social skills? Some guys are great one-on-one, but struggle in groups. Want to improve their ability to connect with others.
There's a lot. I think number one is trying to be present where you are. I see a lot of men that struggle socially because they are in the place with everybody else. They're on their phone. They got their head down. They're tapping their foot. They're looking around. They're not actually connecting with people. And so it's like, how do you get present in the moment instead of, because you're so anxious that you're trying to escape the place you're already in? But you can't actually leave it.
Yep.
But you're escaping it in your mind.
So you just disassociate.
Number one, be present. Yeah. I think number two is, if you have a hard time in groups, find a small section of the group to attack. And then go to another section of the group. And then go to another section of the group. You have to build your comfortability up. Instead of just sitting there and avoiding all connection, get in where you fit in and then move it and move it. And expand yourself. But if you're just going to say, I don't do well in social settings, so I'm just going to sit here and be silent, you're not actually trying to be better. You're trying to be somebody that sticks out. You get attention from that. That's why you tell everybody, oh, I'm socially anxious. All right, what would you do different to get out of that? Would you talk to somebody and relieve your anxiety? Because that's how I would do it. If I go into a group and I see a big group of people, I'm going to go to where I feel energy drawn, and I'm going to go there and connect. And then I'm going to find the next one I can draw to and connect. I put myself in those spots because even if I don't know anybody, I could connect with somebody. Just energy wise.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially in the lifestyle, we go into situations where we know no one, but we go there to connect with people. We go there to talk and meet people. We have a mutual friend that I love the man to death, but you can tell when he gets uncomfortable because he's down there on his phone just doom scrolling. I love the man to death, but you can tell when he gets uncomfortable every time because that's his default. He's just down there, and that's what I'm like, what's going on, man? What's up? And it snapped him out of it, and you just go on, find a subject, and then it just relaxes him a little bit. Once he gets re-engaged, he's fine. But as soon as he becomes uncomfortable or there's a conversation or something like that that he hears, like, that's immediately where he goes, is right into his phone. And just as a friend, I try and acknowledge it and try and bring him out of it so he can be in, like, have as good time as everybody else is having.
I'm the same way. And I think too, people get that way because they're judging themselves in their own mind. And so they're afraid to say their truth because they're afraid of what other people are going to perceive it as. Instead of, here's what I think, here's the truth, here's who I am, blah, blah, blah. They think everything they are is, they're in judgment of themselves, and therefore they think other people are judging them. And so they can't be themselves with other people, because they're afraid that who they are is not good enough to be in that spot. That's where social anxiety comes. It has nothing to do with the event. It has nothing to do with the amount of people. It's how you feel about you in that space. And if you can feel better about the person you are, that's why I say you got to fucking like yourself a little bit. To be connected with people, you got to like yourself to be in any relationship in general. And so, because if not, you're going to seek out people to make you like yourself. And I promise you,
you're seeking validation.
Make you hate yourself in the long run.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit more. One more time.
All the shifts.
All right. Something a lot of guys struggle with are jealousy. And we've touched on it a little bit already. But what's your take on where the jealousy comes from specifically?
What's the old saying? Like, jealousy is, you got something that I should be having. And envy is, you got something that I want. And so a lot of men get jealous because of they're sharing something that has been theirs. And now it's like seeing that go away from them, their immediate thought is that I should be getting that. But they haven't really paid attention to, I agreed to give that out. I agreed to allow that. And when that happens, so jealousy comes from the fact that you feel like you're missing something that you should be getting. Envy comes from the fact that there's two different ones. People are like, I'm envious. And envy means that they have something that you want that you have never seen. Well, fuck, I want that Lamborghini. Like, I want that. Okay. That's envious a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
But jealousy is, you're getting something that I should be getting that I haven't gotten in a while. And so they get a little feeling about them. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier, where like that new energy gets a new reaction out of your partner. And for the first response of the man is, I'm not getting that shit. I'm not getting that energy. Fuck that. This is making me jealous. Like, why does he get that? Yeah. I spend every damn day with you. Like, I do everything. But the reality is, has nothing to do with you and y'all's relationship. It has everything to do with the energy that's coming in. Like, people respond to energy. New energy makes people move. New energy makes people excited. New energy makes people eager. It has nothing to do with your relationship being shitty or your relationship being falling apart. It has everything to do with that person's just responding. Like, we just respond.
Yep.
Women specifically, women respond significant to new energy because they're super intuitive and energetic beings. And so when we see a woman respond in a way that we're not used to, our first thought is, oh, what does this mean about me? But the reality is, it's just new energy coming in. Yeah.
Yeah. That shows, because you don't very often see a partner get jealous when they're both getting attention.
Yes. Never. That's it.
It's when they feel like they're not getting the attention is when these jealousy issues show their ugly face. And you just hit nail on the head. It's just, I feel like they're getting something that I want or I deserve. And they're not getting it. So they don't recognize, like you said, their partner's just recognizing
that's
the new energy. You hit
the thing is, too, like you can have that energy if you up level your energy at home. Right. There's a different way. Right. People just get confused. Oh, we've been married for 20 years. You know how it is. No, I don't fucking know how it is. I know how it works. And so I can make it work a certain way or I can let it work a certain way. And so energetically, you get to choose every day how you show up to your partner because your energy chooses their energy. And so if you're showing up as a dick or you're showing up disconnected, you're showing up disassociated, you're showing up as a roommate and not like a lover and not an intimate partner, then that's the energy you get back. They're just responding all day, every day.
Yeah.
The feminine just responds. The masculine leads energetically. The feminine responds. And so if you're being an asshole, expect asshole back. But if you're being like Rico Suave, expect the feminine to open up to you like you've never seen it before.
I was just like, as you're talking, I can think of, there's been times where Ashley's being like short and snippy with me. And I don't know why. Like, I'm like, so if I'm like, what's the problem? So you're being an asshole. Oh, okay. What did I do wrong? Because it always came down to I was dealing something either at work or outside of us that I was dealing with, but trying to show up, but didn't show up in the right frame of mind. So I was unintentionally being an asshole, but I was being an asshole.
You didn't clear the energy. That's it. We're all victim of that. Me and Jocelyn, we run two businesses together. So there are times where we're just fucking in work mode and we hadn't cleared the energy. And then at nighttime, we're just looking at each other. What the fuck's going on? And she's looking at me like, what the fuck's going on? And I'm like, oh, we hadn't gotten back into our routine yet. So we got to clear the energy and allow her to be feminine again. Because if not, she's going to ball bust the shit out of me.
She spent the whole day in just being boss bitch.
And it's so true. And so if you want the energy that your wife shows up in new scenarios, is an energy you can receive, but you have to be in charge of how you lead yourself with her. Are you dating your wife? Are you planning for your wife? Are you leading her? Are you putting in the romantic gestures? Are you putting in the work in your relationship? If so, your energy with her is going to be something that you can't imagine. The temporary energy of a new scenario, that shit fades fast as fuck. Like it'll be good for once or two times and then it's done. Because then it's on to the next one. Because all energy fades after a certain time. Because the beginning energy is all about brain chemistry. It has nothing to do with actual desire. It's a chemistry that goes off in your brain where all of these hormones start to get released and chemicals get released inside of your body. And you're just moving because of the hormones and chemicals. You're not moving because I desire this person more than my husband or my wife. It's just a momentary feeling that you're going through.
So what's the difference between normal jealousy and toxic jealousy?
So I would say normal jealousy, I think it's normal for about every guy. Because like we were just talking about, energetically, I see something that I'm not receiving or isn't showing up the way it's showing up in front of my face. And so therefore I'm going to feel a little jealous. Okay, that's normal. I got it. And I can communicate that to my wife and she can explain to me why she is that way. And we can come to some understanding so we can move forward. Toxic jealousy is I see that and I lose my fucking shit. I blame my wife for being something she's not. Yep. I'm blaming, I should have never fucking did this. You're stabbing me in the back. You don't love me. And it starts gaslighting the scenario when you agreed to be a part of the scenario. And I would say the majority of the time is led by the man anyway. It has nothing to do with the woman. And so you're putting yourself knowingly into a situation in which this could happen. And then you still respond in a way that breaks every amount of trust that you developed with your wife. And it breaks every rule in relational dynamics. Like you can't do that. If you're agreeing to allow it, you have to allow it. Can you communicate it on the back end? Yes. Can you come to some more boundaries around it? Yes. Can you create different standards? Yes. But you can't attack the person that you allow. That's toxic as fuck.
It goes back to what we always say is it's not bad that you feel jealousy. That is a natural primal emotion. It's how we deal with it. It's how our emotional intelligence allows us to break down why we're feeling.
And I think it's important to define emotional intelligence for the people out there because they hear it a lot. It's a big word that has a lot of different shit in it. But emotional intelligence is using your emotions as a guide. And I'd say as an indicator and not a dictator.
It's, that's it. Yeah. That's a
so
good
like if emotions like are temporary. They're 7 to 30 seconds apiece. Everything after 30 seconds is the story you tell yourself about the emotion, about the feeling you're having. And so if I know emotions last 7 to 30 seconds, then why would I dictate my whole life based off of temporary shit? Is it good? It's like driving my car when the oil lamp comes on. It's just indicating, hey, you probably need to put some oil on. Like when an emotion pops up, it's indicating I'm feeling a certain thing. I need to know why I'm feeling this thing. It doesn't mean I need to fucking lash out at the emotion. It just means I need to pay attention. Just pay attention. And as I pay attention, then I can logically move from there. But if I'm just allowing the emotion to well up and I'm attacking from that mode, when your emotions is high, your intelligence is low. So whenever you're highly emotional, don't say shit because it'll be dumb as fuck.
Hey, everyone. If you ever wondered where we get our outfits, accessories, and even some of the cool decor that you see in our content, look no further. We've got it all linked in our Amazon storefront. From stylish fits, fun accessories, to the decor that sets the vibe, we've handpicked our favorites just for you. Head over to our Amazon storefront to check it out, and you might just find something that fits your style. Shopping our picks helps support the show, so thank you for all the love. Yep. I get that. Like, say, nailing it. Nailing it. So another thing that trips guys up is ego. How do you check your ego without busting your confidence up?
Right, so ego, there's two versions of it. There's the ego that drives you, which is the beautiful version. Like it gives you, it makes things happen. It's like your driving force. And there's the ego that wants you to stay the same. And so the ego, the premise of the ego that we're talking about divides you into different pieces. And so the ego's job is to split you into many pieces as possible and make each piece important. But none of those pieces are you. They're just things that you do. And so I'm a husband. That's not who you are. That's something you do. I'm a dad. That's something I do. Who you are is Russ. Who I am is Jim. And if my ego tells me I'm 37 things besides that, those 37 things did have control over who I am. Are these things I do or is this things I am? So like ego for me is always when I'm wanting to reframe my ego because I have a big ego sometimes. And because I've split myself into so many pieces, but I really always come back to,
right,
is this aligned for me? And two, like, I always put my ego in the passenger seat. The ego used to drive me a lot. So I put it in the passenger seat. Hey, man, I got it. We're good. We're going to do this scary shit. I know it scares the shit out of you, but we're going to do some scary shit today. See what it feels like. And I'm going to change here. I'm going to show up differently here. I'm going to lead myself better here. Usually your ego creeps in when you're doing things that require you to be better as a human. And yeah, so as you start to be better as a human, your ego's like, no, fucking don't do that. You're good being an asshole. Yeah. You're good being a dick. You're good not doing this thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's like your insecurity puts ego in the driver's seat.
And it's your fear too.
Yeah.
Your fear will put it there. Because I'm
most
men get afraid. They're like, I'm afraid of change, and I'm afraid to fail, and I'm afraid of this. The reality is they're afraid to let go of who they have been. I've been good up until this point. I'm about to try something new, and I got to be something different. It's like the fear of who they have to be in order to be this guy. That scares the shit out of most men, because that means I got to work and I got to change, and I got to start be a little bit more truthful, more honest to myself, and be a little bit more intelligent in how I lead my emotions and lead my wife. And that scares me, because they've gotten comfortable not doing all of those things, not realizing when you do those things, the relationship you have gets better.
This is actually a journey I'm actually going through right now. I went back into that management position at work. I was a drone for a year and a half. And so I went from a drone to trying to step right back into a leadership position, which I had to readjust myself. Like, so it goes with self-check-ins. I read a lot of books. I just started last week. Ego is the enemy.
All day.
Ego is the enemy. So I'm only about 5 chapters into it. But as you're going through it, it's, that makes sense. Yeah. It helped me, again, put logic on how I, like, why I operated in a certain situation.
Yes.
Why I operated that way, I should say. And so, yeah, this is a journey that I've had to have to go through. It's not the first time I've gone through it.
No.
But I think we go through the same type of journey in different kinds of ways at different stages in life. So, yeah, I'm just going through this journey again.
Speaking of books, a good book for guys out there would be this one I keep it here beside me. If I put it up a little bit. Go Way of the Superior Man. I give it to all my clients. Truthfully, and it's really, I call it the Bible for understanding masculine energy and feminine dynamics. And I read it every quarter. I've probably read it 30 times now. And I learn something new every time I read it. So if you're a guy out there and you're wanting to just do some self-work, that's some good self-work. Like to read that and go through. And the chapters are short. So for us big dumb animals, it allows us to process information because it's only one or two pages a chapter.
So what are some red flags that a man's insecurities are letting him control?
Red flags.
Yeah.
So you'll see a man who seems like he's always in his head. And when I say that, the masculine tends to be head-based, but when a masculine integrates, he becomes heart-led. So he becomes more energetically from here instead of from here, from his head. It comes from his heart. And so you'll see him disconnected a lot. Like energetically, you're like, is he fucking like a robot? Is he dead on the inside? What's happening? I think another one would be you see a lot of emotions. And usually the primal emotion is anger because they're not willing to address the sadness piece of it. And so they allow the sadness to build up to a point where they're angry a lot. You also see escape. Men who feel some type of way about themselves try to escape from that, and they do it through drinking, they do it through recreational drugs, they'll do it through porn, they'll do it through whatever scenario they got in order to escape. And they'll use lifestyle to escape, and people not in the lifestyle will use women to escape a lot of men will, because they're trying to feel better about themselves, and they use things to make them feel better, and so they get attached to these things. Right. And when you're attached to something outside of you to control something in, you have no power over it. And it becomes like this addiction cycle where you're going through these downward spirals. And the only way to get out of it is to sedate yourself. And when I say sedate, I always like it's drinking, drugs, porn, women, whatever. Anything outside of you that it just numbs the feeling inside of you. And so they have to get that. And the cycle gets tighter and tighter because they're feeling bad about who they're being to get the thing that they need to feel good. But they know they have to.
Right.
They get shame.
Yeah.
But they still know they have to get it to feel good because they're not taking time to actually like themselves. They're not taking time to actually know what it feels like to love on you as a man. It's so fucking important, man, out here. I want to tell you, I look like this, a big grizzly bear. That's what I look like. I get in the mirror every motherfucking day and tell myself I love myself. Like, to a point, there are most days that I will tear up because, like, that's the kind of love I want from the world is the way I love me.
Right.
But you have to get so, there's a non-negotiable that you are going to love you as much as you love your wife. As much as you love your kids, because they need that from you. If not, you're always going to be trying to get that love from them. So then you feel good enough to love them. It's not the fucking way, man. And so to the big one, like disconnected, sedation, in their head, emotionally irrational.
Well, these are also red flags to see in ourselves, right? We obviously don't want to be that guy at the party. But if we're starting to get that way, we can recognize these types of red flags in ourselves and be able to step away from a situation and work through it. Like I said, sometimes you can work through it and go back to the party. Other times it's a little bit deeper than that and you're like, all right, you're done.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and too, there needs to be a mutual understanding. And this is important for couples, like a mutual understanding. If one person is out because of that situation's uncomfortable, both people need to be out. Like,
say, it's an us thing,
period. And when I've taught the men in the lifestyle, I've coached men in the lifestyle where I'm going to get mine. No, the fuck you're not. This is a mutual agreement. Right? And so if we're not mutually involved, then we're not mutually doing it. Like, period. If one of this mutuality is off, is disconnected, and is feeling some kind of way, then we're both going to feel this way. And that's leadership. That's trust building. That's when you have like your power in fucking full force. Like, you're not thinking about you as the number one outcome here. You're thinking about how does this outcome affect our relationship? Because I got to take this shit home.
Exactly. And I think that's where a lot of the disconnect comes from, is because a lot of times one person is having a great time and the other person isn't. And so the one person doesn't want to be there. They have to be comfortable enough to communicate that with their partner. And the partner has to be, even though if you're having a great time, it can be annoying, a little bit frustrating to leave when you really don't want to. But again, you have to trust your partner and understand that you're there with them, for them, no matter what.
It's super important. But it's a thing too. No matter, it doesn't matter if this is lifestyle, if this is friends groups, if this is family scenarios where you get into and you know that, hey, my wife's not comfortable here. Right. Fuck that. I'm not putting her in this spot because that's my priority. My priority is not my fucking primal needs or my primal desires. My priority is my wife. My priority is this relationship. And when you operate from that space, you will choose y'all more than you choose you. And that's where that's when the relationship gets pretty fucking solid, is that you're choosing y'all instead of you choosing you. Yes. Yeah, I said y'all because I'm country as cool.
You're bumpkin. All right. So I reached out to some listeners, so I got some questions for you. All right. How do I bring up the lifestyle to my partner in a way that feels natural and doesn't push them away?
This is a good one. All right. So number one, you have to bring it up as something you are desiring. So it needs to be led with, I'm feeling this. Not, wouldn't it be awesome if we? You got to be comfortable enough in your truth. Hey, this is something that I've thought about. This is something that I thought would be something interesting to try together. And I feel like it would bring us closer together, or feel like it would give us this experience, or feel like it would add this to us. You need to know why it would be important. Yeah, you need to know it. Why. What do you want from it? Why do you want it? And what's it going to add to? If you get to the bottom of that and it detracts, then the conversation doesn't need to be had. If I go down absolutely this conversation route, it's going to subtract from the quality of my relationship, then I'm not going to have this conversation. But you have to be willing to go through the process mentally of knowing what you want, why you want it, and then find a way that is direct enough, not like a demanding, but this is what I'm sensing. This is what I'm seeing. This is what I want. How do we work together to create this? And then put it like as a, hey, how to let her have input. It can't be just you. I want, this is why.
No.
And what do you see? And what are your pros and cons? Because it has to be, and it's a process. It's not like you have one conversation and you're in, I promise. Like, it's just the same way, like getting into the relationship with your wife currently. It wasn't just one conversation and, oh, I'm fucking solid. No, like I had to work at this shit every day to get here. It's a matter of that.
Yeah. So we always tell people that in this lifestyle, you're going to have uncomfortable, awkward situations. So it might as well start with one. If you're not comfortable enough to have that initial conversation, then you should probably just not
absolutely
think about it, because you're going to have those hard conversations at times. And in between all the fun and the glitz and the glamour, there's these real moments that really connect you and your partner to at a whole different level that you didn't even know is possible. You have to be able to have those conversations and receive the input, because that first conversation about it, if you're blindsiding your partner with this, there's going to be shock. There's going to be emotions of insecurities and feel like they're not good enough for you. You need more. And you're going to have to validate them and support them. And
it's a high possibility. It's going to be a shit
show.
Go
through that. Yeah. But it's a conversation that has to be had. And then it should end as, let's take a quick break and let's talk about this and come back the next day even. And like, all right, so we've had time to think about this stuff. Well, how do you feel now? Because you don't want that raw emotion when you're having a logical discussion about changing your relationship dynamic.
And I think it's super important too to realize, like, you got to get used to having hard conversations in general. And the more comfortable you can get with the difficult shit, because that's when you're going to grow more connected in the relationship. It's not when everything is good. That's just a byproduct of you doing everything hard. And so if you're just waiting on your relationship to be good or needing it to be good all the time, you're not giving it an opportunity to be what it could be. It could be great. But the greatness comes with you having difficult conversations, you asking for what you want, you be willing to face some shit together, knowing that on the other end of that shit is an opportunity for growth and not really this opportunity to tear each other down. Like, it's just an opportunity to see each other. Me and Jocelyn, we think, like, when we're in conflict or when we're having a hard conversation, we are connecting because I get to see her. I get to see her truth. I get to see her real. I get to see what the fuck she thinks about shit. She gets to see what the fuck I think about shit. That way we know each other better. We can serve each other better. We can show up together more. So I think that's an important part of that. But yeah, like that first conversation, if you're going to lead it, you need to know why you're leading and what you want from it. Then have the conversation and know that you're going to fuck it up. Like, you're going to fuck it up the first time, and that's okay. And she's going to react how she reacts, and that's okay. It's her energy, and allow her to do that.
Okay. Question two. I feel like I'm always the least interesting person in the room at a lifestyle events. How do I become more magnetic?
Is this from a guy?
It's from a man.
A man. How you become more magnetic. So you become more magnetic, we become more comfortable with yourself. And it's not you trying to be something outside of you so that other people find you more magnetic. It's, you have to feel more magnetic as you. You got to get comfortable with yourself. You got to trust yourself. You got to respect yourself. You got to, I'm saying it again, you got to love yourself as the man. And then when you show up, you don't feel like a stranger in the room because you're comfortable with the person you're alone with. I'm supremely comfortable with the man I am. Like the person I'm alone with, whenever I'm alone by myself, I'm fucking like that dude. So then when I go into anywhere, I'm okay because I got me. Most people get insecure because they don't know themselves authentically. And so they've always been somebody
yes.
that the world needed or the world loved or wanted to love. And so that when they're asked to be themselves in a new spot, they're like, I don't know what the fuck is that? I don't know what that means. So to get comfortable being themselves with themselves, being themselves with their partner, because a lot of relationships is based off of, fortunately, like, wow, it's like you putting on a show for your partner to the person that you know you're not. And you lose yourself in your current relationship because you're trying to be something she needs instead of be something that you need to love. And you get lost. And then you go into the lifestyle, so to say, and you expect to find yourself and you get even more lost because you don't even know who the fuck you're taking there.
Yeah, that nailed it. So our okay. time's about up. It was incredible talking to you today. I freaking, that was a good one. Like, I really hope this video comes out because we're after the technical difficulties.
I do too.
But,
I need to be your editor. Right now.
If a guy listens only one thing from this episode, what should
The one thing is always remember, if you don't know yourself in truth, then you can't lead your wife. And you're not going to be able to lead a relationship. And when I say that, it's like, so women, for women to respond to a man, they need to be seen by man. The problem is most men can't see themselves, so then they can't see their partner. And so if you're not taking time to know yourself in truth, and when I say truth, look at the products of your life. Look at your body, look at your bank account, look at your relationship, look at your own personal development, your mental development, your spiritual connection, all that kind of stuff. Look at the byproducts of that. You'll know yourself in truth really quick. And as you start to see yourself where you're not showing up at your fullest capacity, you make maneuvers to get back in alignment with all that you are. And when you do that, your partner trusts you because you trust you. You like you a little bit. So learn to love yourself and get comfortable doing that.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So tell everybody listening or watching this on Spotify or YouTube, where can we find you? Do you have anything coming up or any classes or programs you're running?
Absolutely. Let everybody know now. You can find me on all the socials at the.conscious.man, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. So I got coming up currently, I'm releasing a mindset course here in the next week. I just created called the Savage Mindset. It's a really good course. I have my pillar course that I do for men called Masculine Mastery. It's an 8-week course and starts on March the 25th. So I'm enrolling that now. It's fucking awesome. I walk men through 8 frameworks to help them find who they are in their own power and lead from that capacity. I do a lot of learning and embodiment in there. So it was awesome. And then I'm also filling up my one-on-one. So if you're a man and you want a little bit more exclusive connection where I'm in your shit every day, I'm holding you accountable. We're working through all your bullshit and we're getting you more in alignment with yourself. Like, I do that for men, 3, 6, and 12 month scenarios in there. But if you want to check that out, just look on any of my socials. I have links. You can send me a message at any point. If you have questions, I offer a free call to every guy that just wants to see if it's a good fit for them, because I like to see if it's a good fit for me.
And we'll definitely have all your links in the show notes below. But thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, even if it's over this, even though we only live like 20 minutes away.
it'd been interesting for us to be in bed together.
I thought about hijacking one of our friends' breakfast nooks where they have a couple chairs and stuff.
That would have been fun.
I didn't. So to all of our listeners, I just want everybody to remember that this lifestyle is about love, connection, communication, and above all, having a good time. So like always, it's not that serious. Don't make it weird. See ya.